Dave Matthews in the background on this 13th day of May. May the 13th, 2020, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on a sunny, bright day. What a gorgeous day in Los Angeles. Just to be here listening to a little Dave Matthews singing Crash Into Me. Why not? I like this record. And I'm going to crash into your life. Listen. Ooh, let's listen to a little bit of this, huh? I love his music, don't you? From an album called Crash, kind of like that. Love that kind of music. Kind of like keeps me focused and balanced. How are you guys doing during this stay-at-home time, right? Got to stay at home and stay occupied. Keep your minds occupied, your brains occupied, everything. Hey, I got a good brain occupier for you. You go to my Facebook page, and I put up part one of a sermon that I preached back in, I think 1991, I think it was something like that. 91, 92, something like that. It was a series that I was doing on family life. And I found this old YouTube clip. And I wrote this huge paragraph behind it and put it up on my Facebook page. And that's John Coleman. Just look for it. I'd like you to look at that sermon series because I'm not going to put it on, you know, I could put it on the webpage, but I would rather not. I want you to see it and to read my opening paragraph and see what I said about the way it was years ago when things were just starting to break out. I saw the end of it, and now here we are in on the tail end of it, and who have we listened to? You listened to all the people that lied to you. And look at where you ended up. I want to tell you something. You know what? You may come against God's word, the Bible. You may not want to pay attention to it and stuff like that. I don't have to rank on who's going to heaven and who's going to hell because that's none of my business anyway. But I know this. It would do you well to extol and to exonerate God. I'm going to talk with you a little bit here on how to press on, and the emphasis of my pressing on message to you today is to help your little chillins, those of you that got children, because I remember during my days of joy when I came up in this house was raising my two daughters. Raising those two girls, watching them grow up, giving them parental admonition. Oh, yeah. You can imagine what it was like living in the house with the pastor, huh? No, you can't. It was one of the most beautiful times in those girls' lives. Always had food to eat, never was abused, never cursed at them. I didn't start using that language at my daughter's until I got grown. Because they try to treat me like I'm a child sometimes. And I couldn't take that. You know that. I just couldn't take ass. No. I had to let them know. I was having another interesting conversation with a young man today, 32 years old. And I said, you know what I dislike about men today? The thing that I dislike about them the most is their ambivalence when it comes to them being men, behaving like men, acting like men, carrying themselves like men. Men don't do that today. They just don't do it. They carry themselves as some other. They're trying to find themselves in somebody else's mode instead of the mode that God created them to be in. we were having a conversation about a young man that we both jointly knew some 10 years ago, and we were speaking about how we watch this man grow up and become a man. And in that growth process, we've seen a young boy blossom into the most beautiful, strong man. Has his career all lined up, working on his career, wants to open up a little restaurant and do things like that, but it's truly a man. And I used to, years ago when I was speaking with him, I told him, I said, you know what, you have a little bit too much of your mother's influence in your life. And he took an offense to that. He took an offense to it, that Sade in the background. I like me some Sade too. Sade has a nice mellow voice. This is a number called Pearls. Sade, Love Deluxe. Beautiful singer. Has one of those melodic voices that kind of takes you away. I like listening to people that can sing with passion. But anyhow, we were talking about the advancement of this young man and how well he's doing is because he took my advice. And if you go to my Facebook page and see this sermon concerning women writing a constitution written for women by God, and God used me as a preacher way back in that day to pass on this message. And I think it is very appropriate today. As a matter of fact, I got a call from Zarek that checks me out on Facebook from time to time. And he just called me and said one thing. All you got to do is put up your old work. That's what he said. Put up your old work. It speaks volumes. It's like I prophetically looked down the future and saw today and boom, spoke about it back then. Tell me if I'm lying. Frying or flying. That's up to you to do. Thank you for coming to my website. Now, how can we help our children? Let's talk about that. I'm going to douse the music. Boom, just like that. Kind of douse the music, and I'm going to ask a question. How do we help them? You got those little kids all around the house, running around, making noise. You're getting tired of them, right? No, you shouldn't be getting tired of them. You shouldn't be beating them, beating down on them, cussing them out and all that kind of stuff. That shows that your priorities are all messed up. So let's get back to the old-fashioned ways of training a child. Because if you got children in your house, that child needs to be trained. That child needs to be nurtured. That child needs to be parented. And you may not be the parent of the child. You may be an uncle, a cousin, maybe even a babysitter that mommy and daddy are paying you to watch as they go to work and try to make a little bit more money. And let me say this. I listened to the news about Los Angeles today, and they say that we're doing pretty good from this coronavirus, that we have a tendency to come back if we just keep following the rules and doing what we have to do. Well, I believe this. I believe that God requires a lot out of us as adults. We have to train our children. But we have to train them in a God-centered way. Now, what I mean by that is that I know grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, cuz, and all this. And, you know, they knew how to make a child obey. But children are different today. They're a lot smarter than they were some 20, 30, 40 years ago. Far smarter than I was. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 in the Old Testament gives us some insight into this, and I'd like you to pay a little attention to me here. Let PJ talk to you. Now, I'm only talking about things that are going to make sense, because I don't talk about things that don't make any sense to you. And I'm not going to come across begging you to pay attention to me. I'm telling you that if you listen to what I'm saying, and if you do exactly what I tell you to do, you will have 100% success in raising children and making sure that your family is straight. And when your children grow up and they become adults, they will know that the rules that they had to keep in order to come up in that house with mom and dad will keep them and their children straight also. That's called passing down tradition, where it needs to be passed down. Let me say this. You don't have to go to no church. You don't have to listen to no pastor. You don't have to give no money. You don't have to do any of that stuff. My website is absolutely free. I am an ordained pastor, ordained by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't need no man to okay me. I have 3 collegiate degrees, but I don't need one of those to tell you what I'm telling you right now. God says, these commandments that I give you today, let me stop right there. These are not the words of John Coleman. I don't know how many times I've said that in my life. Whenever I quote from the Bible, these are not my words, and these are not some white man's words that put this thing together, because can't no white man, black man, purple man, blue man put together a book like these 66 books and make it all make sense in every year that we live on the planet, whether in the 16 or to the 2500s. This book will be the book of books. He says, these commandments I give unto you today. Who is the person speaking? It's God. It's not John. So stop listening to John and start listening to God. What did he say about this? He says, I give you today, and they are to be upon your hearts. That is the seat of your emotion. In other words, these words should be embedded in your heart. And then he says, impress them on your children. Now, why do you think he said that? Why do you think he said to impress these words of his unto your babies? Because God loves your babies and he wants them to survive. Someone sent me a disastrous video clip of 2 old white men in an alley fussing with each other. One of them had a gun and he kept telling the other man, I'm telling you, man, back off, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And the other man, edged on by his stupid wife, kept messing with that man. And then he began to call him some derogatory names, he and another man that was in the alley. And the next thing you know, shots rung out. And I saw the woman's husband's face in the dirt. And she's screaming to the top of her voice. He probably died, but he wanted to, because he wouldn't listen to the commands of God. He was listening to the commands of another. When I look at the news and I see my neighbors in Orange County, down there in Huntington Beach on the beach, walking around screaming obscenities, and I don't even see the police trying to in any way beat them up or try to choke them out. But if that was on a beach in Watts or something, every black man out there would have been hog-tied, beat up, bleeding at the mouth. But I see these crazy white people, and I ain't got nothing against white people. I have a lot against the crazy ones, like my president. I think he's a little baddie. Really. But when I see things like that, and I'm wondering how these people were raised. I wonder what kind of parents they had. What kind of parents would have you in the alley arguing with a man that has a gun on you, and the man told you to stop? Wait a minute. God says, impress them on your children. And then he says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And so he was saying that you should speak with your children wherever they are. Now, let's take it one at a time. When you sit at home, hey, how many of you got time to sit at home with your children? Are you sitting at home with them now? Yes. They didn't go to school today, did they? What you say, Mama? They're getting on your nerves. You didn't think that when you had them. Why don't you think about little Jethro like he was that 5-month-old little baby? You was changing that little boo-boo diaper. Remember that? And you said, ooh, Jethro, he's so sweet. Look at him. He's so sweet. Now Jethro is 10 years old. Jethro can't stay still. He's bouncing all over the house from room to room, tearing up stuff. He wants to go out and play with his friends, but you won't let him out because of the contravirus, right? When you sit with him at home, God said, sit down with your children. And then he says, when you walk along the road, are you walking with your children? Are you happy you got the little children? Don't be beating up those babies. Don't be hitting them. Why are you cursing your children? I know some of you are listening to me right now. You have been cursing those children because you're growing stir crazy because you can't go out and get your nails done and your hair done, you hypocrite. Walk with them and sit with them by the way, by the road. And then it says, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, take your children in bed with you. And I don't mean in a negative way. These are your children. Let me say this right now. I can say, praise God, I raised two girls and I ain't never did anything to them like that in my life. I need to be hack shackled, have the piss slapped out of my ass and all that kind of stuff if I ever did anything like that to my children. Any parent that would molest a child like that, as far as I'm concerned, should be hog-tied and beat up and left for dead. All right, wait a minute. I'm talking about how you can press on. You can press on with those babies you have. I'm tired of you telling me that you're tired of hearing their voices. You know what it says? Listen. Let's go to the New Testament now. Go to the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4. Just one verse. Let's look at it. Look what it says. Fathers, see, speaking to you daddies. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Let me stop right there. What is it when you exasperate a child? Now, the boy's coming to you asking you for some help because he can't play this video game right because Mario keeps knocking him down. He needs you to play Mario with him. Daddy, will you play? And you slap that boy back because you was talking with your friend over the phone about Kobe being dead and nobody's playing basketball. And little Jethro got slapped back. No. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, it says, bring them up in the training and instruction of God. Do you know what he means by that? Why don't you represent what God is like, not what a heathen is? Some of us fathers need to get checkpointed. I'm telling you. And then let me say this. Some of you fathers are too light on your children, especially if you got a son. You got to make that boy hard because he's growing up in a hard world. I wish my daddy had made me a harder dude coming up. I really do. Because when I came up as a little kid, I never had a fight in school. Never. What? Are you kidding? Fighting? Me? Junie boy? Are you crazy? No, my father should. He turned me over to my Uncle Billy too late. See, my daddy never took me to a baseball game or to a football game. My Uncle Billy did because my mother got mad at my daddy one day. Let me tell you the story. She would try to get my daddy to take me and Ross out. We were the first two boys. The third boy was Bradford. He was far younger than us. But my mother, Marianne, would try to get my daddy, John Sr., to take us out to the park and play ball or something. He would never do it because my daddy was a playboy, get away from. That's what he was. So he didn't have time to play games with me. So I grew up kind of soft. I was a boy, but I was a little bit too soft. Daddies, bring them up in the fear and admonition of God, but don't exasperate them. Don't exasperate them. If they want to play a video game with you, play the video game with them. If they want to walk with you, Daddy, down the street, walk with them and play the little childish game with him. You got the time now. Oh, man, I ain't got no job to go to. A lot of people in the same boat you in, buddy. What's that I hear you say, Mama? You don't have the money to buy the meat and the bread and the eggs and the steaks and the chicken and the ribs and all of that. Hey, a lot of people in the same shape you in. That's all right. Buy a little rice and beans. Learn how to put a little seasoning in it. Jethro will eat it. Sure he would. The chief goal, parents, is to train the child in the fear of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Don't exasperate them. That means don't be unfair to them. Don't abuse them. In another book of the New Testament of the Scriptures called the Bible that we don't want to read anymore, it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, see, speaking to you dudes again. Those of you that's lost your job and you don't know what to do, come to my website. I tell you what to do. Come on, press on. Press on. What's the problem? Fathers, do not embitter your children. You know what embittering means? When they hear you coming, when they see you coming, your children start cursing. Oh, here come that bigger buggy bear. He didn't beat the slop out of mama, slap Sally down. Now he's coming to try to molest me. Oh, yeah. Listen, listen, fathers. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Do you know what that means? They won't want to work. They won't want to have fair relations with other people. They're going to want to become a big bad booger like you, Daddy. Nothing but a bum. That's all you are. But I know you pay your pastors. They won't call you a bum today, will they? Oh, here come Brother Jones. He give $400. Yeah, he give $400 for you to keep your mouth shut about the lack of tutelage that he gives his children. Oh, my fathers, let me tell you, you've got to manage your family well and so that your children will respect you one day. You know, that's one thing I can say about my daughters. They may not agree with everything that I say because we both grown now, you know. We a day over 35, all of us. And so we can garner our own opinions and do things like that. But I tell you one thing, they respect me as their daddy. Do you know some kids that have grown up and their parents have grown up and the kids say about their parents, I can't stand that mother, father, sister, brother. You can put the adjectives in there where they belong. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, he, that means males, men, y'all, listen. It says he must manage. This is God telling you what you got to do. He must manage his own family. That means Leroy, stay away from Sally Lou and her boogity boo. Take care of your own children. I know some men that spend more time with other people's children than their own. Oh, they try to gain a reputation. Oh, he's a nice man. He's the coach. He teaches all the boys basketball, and he does this, and he does that. But does he love his own crew? There's a man that I know, I won't give you his name, but I've been counseling this man for years saying, love the family that God has given you to the degree that the people that know you as a friend will say, indeed, we know you love your sons. I don't know why black men do not love their sons the way that I do. When I see a black man with boys, I just start smiling because that's the best thing God could have given you. Oh, I'm not putting down the girls because I got two of the smartest whippersnapping females that God ever produced in the world. Don't get it twisted. But God says that he, you daddies, must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Now, you're not going to get that unless you gain the proper respect out of them, daddies. Love requires faithful discipline. We don't even believe in that anymore. Because in a lot of homes you can go into and these children will cuss you out in a minute. And you know it. They will tell you, Daddy, what you going to do? Are they going to jack your butt up? Oh, yeah, I know it. And then there's a lot of you daddies out there talking about what you would do to these kids. Let me tell you something. Some of these kids got muscles all over their body now. And they just used to wrestling and playing hard. And if you're not a hard man, hey, man, I couldn't raise no house full of teenage boys. And if I didn't have my help with me, because they beat me down for sure. Look what Proverbs, look what Proverbs 13:24 says. He who spares the rod hates his son. Now, you know what that means? If you got a strap and you won't whoop that boy when his butt needs to be whooped, There it is. Proverbs 13:24. For some of you women that don't believe that your children should be strapped. Well, our jails are so full of men that now the county and the state and the city is letting them out of jail. Now, when they get out of jail and come back to your house, because they ain't got nowhere else to go. These young people are coming right back out to your house. I heard it on Los Angeles News today. They got so many people with the contravirus in the jails that they're letting them out of jails, and they sending them right back home to their family. What you gonna do when they come home talking like a jailbird, living like they've been living for the past 16 months amongst unscrupulous individuals? What you gonna do? What you gonna do, bad boy, when they come for you? Mm-hmm. Look at that. He who spares the rod hates his son. So the implication is God is saying, whoop their butts when they're young enough to understand that you're trying to bring them to discipline. And then maybe when they get older, when they hear a policeman say, stop in your tracks, put your hands up and lie down on your stomach, they will learn how to listen to a command and follow it. And if I was a cop, don't worry, I'm not going to choke them, because I love the little brothers, but they have no business running. But look what he says. God goes on and says in Proverbs 13:24, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. In other words, if you don't discipline him, you don't love him. And how many parents do I know today that say, I don't believe in hitting my child? I know you don't. But your child is going to hit you and take the car keys when he wants them. And you're not going to be able to do anything. If some of you already are not at home getting your butt whipped in the house because you never disciplined them. Don't ever give a child any and everything they want. Mama, I want that. Just look at him. You don't have to tell him no. Cut your eye at him and look at him. He won't ask you again. Now, if he keeps saying, Daddy, did you hear me? I told you I wanted that. Then, Daddy, unbuckle. You know what I'm talking about. Unbuckle. Yeah, you can tell the police on me all you want. Unbuckle, brother. Your pants not going to fall down, because the first hit is going to sting his legs. Sting him real good. Put a pop stinger on him. That's the way my daddy used to do me. Boy, didn't I tell you to take that trash out? You know how you roll your eyes at your daddy, and he give you one pop of that strap. Pop! But you didn't roll your eyes at him again, did you? Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. You know what God is saying? A child is full of foolishness, full of it. That's why he'll jump on your couch. You know they're at home, and they want to play bouncy ball. So they want to get on the couch and jump up on it. Jump up on it. They're going to land down on the coffee table and bust it all up in pieces. Folly is bound in the heart of a child. But look what the second part of that verse says. But the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. That's the Bible. Proverbs 22:15. Y'all want to learn how to press on when you got all them rambunctious kids in the house with you? Going back to the old school way of taking care of this situation. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to listen to Miss Sally, right? Miss Sally teaches you. Well, I went to the Harvard School of Psychotherapy. And I believe that in speaking with my children in a proper way, you can get them to obey you. It would never hurt them, nor harm them in any way. I believe that communication is a source to good behavior. All right, take Jethro over to this woman's house and let him jump on her sofa and jump off and land on her coffee table that cost her about $5,000, and see the way she responds to your son or your daughter. See, you can talk that trash all you want to. I know better than that. God says it'll be driven far from him. And I like what it says in Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from a child. Now God is saying, don't hold back off of it. Don't hold back. If you punish him with the rod, he's not going to die. That's what the Bible just said. If you punish him with the rod, he's not going to die. My mother used to get a strap off of this plant. We used to call it the strap plant in the backyard of our house on 76th Street because wheat cut up. Daddy went to work and Mama was at home during the summer. And she was kind of sickly and kind of ill. She had a bad case of high blood pressure. And we kids would get on her nerves. I remember that. And she would just say, John Jr. I said, what, Mama? And she, you go to that bush and bring me a long strap and tie them up together. Now, I had to obey my mother, but the problem was I didn't know who the strap was for. So you can see me getting these little medium-sized straps off of the tweed vines off of that bush, bringing them in, and I bring it in to my mommy, and she said, John Jr. And you know when she talked to me like that, you know when she lowered her voice, John Jr. Oh, my God, I knew John Jr. And then she snatched that little strap out of my hand and whooped me on my legs because I wore short pants. And she stinged me and she said, bring me a switch. Uh-huh. The end of verse 14 of Proverbs 23 says, punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Did you hear that? See, back in the olden days, people in the old country, the way my grandparents and parents raised me, they knew that if they whooped me and disciplined me, it would protect me from dying. It would protect me from being choked out by some crazy redneck policeman that want to kill some black boys. It would protect me. I'm 76 now. And my parents used to whip my behind all the time. And now you modern day parents, you can give them everything they want, right? Take them to the mall. Whatever they say, ooh, mom, I want this. Give me that. Give me this. Give me that. Give me this. 15 pair of tennis shoes, right? All the clothes they need. Just hey, listen. They can come up like a basketball player's son. I don't want to be a little boy. I want to be a little girl. You're going to take them to a psychiatrist and get them all hyped up and let them be whatever they want to be. You ain't never thought about whooping some behinds. Wait a minute. I'm not finished yet. Proverbs 29:15. Listen to what it says. It says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. In other words, God is saying when you whoop their behinds, it makes their brains get better. Oh, no, I know you think I'm a freak, a Looney Tune. I'm somebody out of character. Let me tell you something. Have you ever dealt with a juvenile delinquent? Look what it says in the latter part of this verse. But a child left to itself disgraces his mother. Now, I know that's true. How did God know that? He must have seen all these mothers crying in the courthouse, crying in the graveyard. My son, my son, my son. Yeah, right. Brought disgrace. Hello, Harcourt. Oh, let me keep on. Listen. Here's another one. And I want you to really follow this. These are a lot of verses. I'm not going to read them all to you. I want you to do some homework. Put down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. See, because when you read that, you're going to see something about the pattern that God has for his lovingly. He talks about how he lovingly disciplines us for our good. And God is saying that when he disciplines his child, that discipline works for the child's good. Well, it works in the same way when you discipline your children. Press on, but discipline them in the right way. Oh, my goodness. I love this verse. I use this verse to raise my two daughters, and I think it did good. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It says, train a child in the way that the child should go. And when that child is old, the child will not depart from it. Now, you're talking about wisdom. In other words, if you feed a child rock cocaine, you're going to kill him by the time he's 20. But if you bring him in the way that he should go, train him how to eat and how to exercise and how to take care of himself and how to have a normative a life of growing up. And you don't have to have money. You can be growing up in the middle of the inner city and live a positive life. Don't need a whole bunch of money to be happy. I heard someone talking to, they were having a conversation with some white people, and the white people were saying, why is it that black people are always seemingly so happy? They can laugh about anything. Because what else can we do? Basically, that's what it is. There's absolutely nothing else that we can do than to live like that and to be happy with our lives. And so we are people that have learned how to accent the positive, okay, and not spend all your time dwelling with the negative and dealing with the Mr. in between. Now let me end up. Well, I got two more verses that I want to end up with. I believe that if you're going to have a house that's going to make it through this pandemic, that you got to press on in a particular kind of way, because life is never going to come back to the way it was. It ain't never coming back to that. I mean, I don't know if they ever get a handle on this virus. I don't know. The virus may take me out in 6 months, 6 weeks. I don't know. I may not be here, but the webcast will be. You can always come back to it, because God's word will never change. It's going to always be there. I put that clip up on my Facebook page today, and one person told me, just keep on putting the clips up, John. You don't have to make another webcast. Yes, I do, because some of you think I done died. I haven't died. I'm still alive. I'm still alive, the same man, and you haven't gotten it yet. Because you keep giving that child everything they need. You are ruining them. Man, you know, when I read these stories on these social network pages about, and I don't know anything about Will Smith and his wife and everything, but when I read about their children seeing psychiatrists and all that kind of mess, man, this was unheard of back in the day. Black family didn't have their children seeing no psychiatrists, no therapists. What the hell's the matter with us? Grew up in the most difficult of times, and now you got grown men going to see a therapist, paying that idiot $350 an hour to tell you to eat a smoothie. It's just beyond me. Listen, unless the Lord build your house, you ain't got no resident. Look what it says in Psalms chapter 127, and I'm going to start off with verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to end up with verse 3, and then I'll be finished with this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labor is in vain. In other words, if you don't take these admonitions that I'm giving you, ain't nothing else going to work for you. You're going to end up, your child going to grow up and tell you that they feel like they're a donkey. And you don't need to comb their hair or bathe them and let them go in the field all day, and you're going to let them do it, right? Because you don't feel like busting in being a parent. Y'all need to press on. It says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In other words, the people of Los Angeles are saying, stay inside and you'll be safe. That's a watchman trying to do something to you. In vain you arise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. In other words, he says, you so bent on trying to make your own life work, you're going to try to make it work, and you're just going to get dizzy and sleepy and everything else because you haven't let God have. In the last verse, I'm going to read verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord. And children are a reward from him. Now, how are you raising your children these days? That's what I want to know. How are you raising them? I'm going to leave with that. Press on, my friend. And today is the 13th of May, 2020. We're in the middle of the COVID virus that has ravished our entire world and is ravishing this part of the world too. How y'all doing? You got those little kids out there? Go and give them a hug right now. That's right. I dare you to do it. Grab your offspring and hug them and tell them how much you love them right now. I don't care how old they are. They can be grown. If they're around the house, I want every parent that is around your child to go and grab that child and hug that child and say, boy, girl, I love you. Come here. I don't care what happened last week. I'm glad you're here. And live like that. All right, I've said enough. I'm out of here. Y'all be good.